This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. It's your post-game workout. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Dan Riemsdyk to the line. Working in on the right side. He drives the net. He's in a goal. He scores! Guess that's how it works. How'd you enjoy it?
Well, Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph with the play-by-play and the call. And a tale of a game tonight and then a bonus round. As you heard, the quick bonus round. Three-on-three hockey that was going to be played tonight regardless. And with a 1-0 Montreal Canadian win over the Toronto Maple Leafs, overtime would not normally have been played, but they're picking certain selected preseason games to implement the three-on-three, give everyone a taste of it, just to get a bit of a taste of it regardless of how the result of the game turns out or not. And as you heard there, James Van Riemsdyk very quickly gave the Leafs the goal in the bonus round. So it was a little strange that the Maple Leafs kind of celebrated like they won the game to some degree. And the fans left happy after not leaving, I would think, so happy with what went on the first 60 minutes. As we welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame, an abbreviated version tonight as befits NHL preseason action, if you want to call it that. We'll talk about that. Gord Stellick, Chris Johnson, of course, from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, and frequently here on Sportsnet 590, the Fan joining us. So, yeah, what did you make? A rare ending where after a bit pretty sterile, non-energetic in many ways, 60 minutes, the fans get to go home happy because it was a JVR Shinny hockey special.
I didn't expect to see, he had a mild celebration. He went down the bench and tapped some gloves. But also Andy Frost in-house here announces the goal, what happens. I mean, I get it, though. I mean, look. I think 3-on-3 is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was never a huge shootout guy myself, Gord. And you know, what we've seen, not just in this game, but the games are ending, and they're ending quickly. You don't want to go to the washroom break between the third period and overtime with 3-on-3 now being, you know, the format, because it's inevitably odd man rushes and a goal. And that's what happened with JVR getting in alone there and beating Mike Condon. But you know, I think it's a nice way to end it, and there's going to be lots of offense.
Well, Toronto Maple Leafs had one of their two games against Ottawa as well, that it was Kyle Turris took a tough change, and all of a sudden what Nazem Kadri and company, they had the quick odd man rush. That one ended real quickly.
The Leafs have played about a minute total of overtime in the preseason and have two goals in those games. And I believe it's only one, unless there was one extra one last night, there's only one game all year in the preseason so far that's got to a shootout. So we're you know, I don't see a way. I've talked to a few coaches about this. I'm not sure there's a way you defend this. And I don't want to put it past the NHL coaches because we know that they find ways to you know, make things safe. But I just think with that much open ice, that few players, and even if you take a shot that misses the net, it doesn't even have to be a player playing poor defensively. It rings back around. You could have a 2-on-1 the other way. So we're going to see more games ended sort of in a non-traditional, traditional way, I guess.
Well, you know, and I do want to talk about the game in the first 60 minutes that went on, but it's interesting. You mentioned the coaches maybe figuring out a way to get around it. And one little little caveat to the rule is that if you pull the goaltender, except for a delayed penalty call, and you get scored on the empty net, you forfeit the 1 point from the 60 minutes. So they're already eliminating that. If you want to do some angle, thinking like you're going to be so dominant 4-on-3 that you decide to pull a goaltender in that purpose, you're risking losing the point.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see anyone do that unless it got to the last day of the season and you needed the 2 points to get in the playoffs. And if you don't get one, you can't get in. That could be the one very specific scenario you'd see that. But, you know, I think really what a lot of coaches have concluded is that because you can't squeeze the life out of this, you might as well go for it. And we're going to see some teams go with three forwards. I know in the American Hockey League last year that was a trend a few tried. And other teams, you know, be it the real Montreal Canadiens when they have P.K. Subban as their 1D or Ottawa with Erik Karlsson, I mean, it might as well be three forwards. And it's all offense. It's great.
Well, let's go back to the game, the 60 minutes of play. Last night we saw 66 shots in total, 33 each by the Toronto Maple Leafs, Buffalo Sabres. Leafs lose 1-0 in regulation time. Dale Weiss gets the lone goal early in the second period. And that stands up. And, you know, you look at the shots, 21-17 for Montreal. But of the 17 Toronto Maple Leaf shots, only 7 in the final 40 minutes.
Yeah, it was what we would call a low event game. There wasn't a lot happening. I mean, at least in the third period, we saw a little bit more, maybe not nice things to see, but a little more compete level and some of the goalies getting hit there and more aggression. But it was, you know, part of me thinks, A, it's mishmash teams every night, but with 3-3 for Montreal, the Leafs' fifth game in 6 days as a team overall, I mean, it makes sense that maybe the energy wasn't there, and you know, for everybody, and it was a little bit dull of a game, I guess.
But. Well, and it gets in the argument about or discussion, and certainly was it Ryan Johansson who showed last year that you don't need any training camp because he started getting a goal, or was it the year before? He started getting
last
like
year.
a goal a game, every game from the word go for the Columbus Blue Jackets, and, you know, you wonder in Mike Babcock's case, obviously wants to find out a lot about his team. I think Michel Therrien, not as anxious. He's been there a couple of years and a little bit more stable that way. What do you think Mike Babcock in general, not just from tonight's game, but in general, some of the messages he's seeing both individually and as a team from his new Toronto Maple Leafs?
Well, I mean, he's learning about some of the kids. I mean, I thought it was an interesting night. Devin Setoguchi, for example, you know, we talked about him in the pregame, Gord, on a tryout. Started out kind of on the what we would call the first line, I think, with Tyler Bozak and James Van Riemsdyk, was dropped from that position in the third period. You know, there's no way that he's going to go home feeling good about his game. I mean, not to dwell on the negatives, but I think that's some of what Mike Babcock will take from this. Who can rise to the occasion? Who can push through, be it fatigue, you know, the lack of energy, not having the real teams, all that stuff. I mean, he's not looking for any excuses right now, and I think guys in that position, in particular on a tryout, that's probably one thing he's going to take away from it, and I think we're going to see from both sides, actually, in this game, we'll see cuts likely coming tomorrow, and, you know, might be even made tonight after the game, and we're going to get a lot closer to what the real teams are going to look like heading into next week, and I'm sure that's the message more than anything, is that this is real now, and we're going to see the numbers dwindle in both sides, and the games next week, I think, would be a lot more competitive, the preseason games, because sort of the races are tightening, or the job competitions are getting in focus.
Gord Stella, Chris Johnson with you. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. A 1-0 win for the Montreal Canadiens in regulation time in NHL preseason action here. Though we add that little caveat, it was mandated tonight there would be 3-on-3 overtime as part of the experiment, and James Van Riemsdyk did the highlight reel goal to at least give the Toronto Maple Leaf fans in attendance something to be happy about. You know, you mentioned the word cuts, and I quite often mention, well, it's not cuts like in the National Football League. When you're cutting guys, it's not like you're losing them. They could be going to the Toronto Marty camp. They could be going back to junior. But there's never been this volume of PTOs, professional tryouts, going. So, I mean, you mentioned Devin Setoguchi, and also you throw in Brad Boyce, and you throw in Curtis Glencross. I mean, these are guys that very legitimately could just get cut and have nowhere to go for now, would have to find some other destination.
Right. And you know, it might be still too soon, but who knows? I mean, again, I feel like Setoguchi in particular was given a real opportunity with the line mates, the ice time, and clearly Mike Babcock wasn't happy with what he saw, and putting Leo Komarov out in his spot in the third period, and you know, kind of putting Setoguchi down the lineup. So it's probably premature for him to be cut just yet, because, you know, we can't forget next weekend there's a back-to-backs Friday and Saturday against Detroit, home and home type of series. So you're going to want to keep some of the veteran guys around, but. You know, that's a message right there to a guy that should be sending the message the other way to the coach, that he's, what he's doing on the ice isn't good enough.
Okay, on the upside, we got time now for our Tip Top Tailor Player of the Game. Player of the Game is brought to you by Tip Top Tailors, your menswear shop. We can debate it a little bit. Do you go James Reimer? Do you go somebody else? I'm trying to think, who do you like if picking a Toronto Maple Leaf?
I would take James Reimer. I certainly don't fault him for that goal. David Desharnais and Dale Weiss both had lots of real estate there to make a play on him. And you know, I thought he was very steady. He wasn't tested much like Mike Condon at the other end. Didn't get a ton of shots, but you know, he looked solid to me when he was. And you know, his previous start in Ottawa, he had a couple iffy goals in that one against. And you know, this was a much better, sort of more solid performance from James.
Talking to Bob McGill in the intermissions, he mentions, like, you saw with Jimmy Howard in Detroit, the thinking is, if you're the number one guy this year, you're going to be the number one guy. He's not a big splitting of goaltenders' duties by and large, Mike Babcock. So if it's Bernier or Reimer, and you start game number one, and you're going okay, you're probably going to take it a lot more and deeper than you might have with other coaches.
It's likely, but I do think in this case, because of sort of this is a unique season. We all know that in Toronto. I mean, what this year is about to me, it's sort of a placeholder season, and it's trying to identify, you know, some of the guys you're going to want to keep around. But I wouldn't be surprised if Jonathan Bernier struggles. I mean, clearly it's he's got the number one job entering the year. But if he struggles, we might again, just because of the nature again.
Rising from the ashes yet again, James Reimer. And I'm saying that I'm a big James Reimer fan. That's all he's ever done.
He has, and keep in mind, it's a big year for him. He's entering a free agent year. He's got 1 year remaining on his contract, and you know, I wouldn't put it past him to maybe get a few more starts. And you know, when all is said and done, it wouldn't surprise me if we saw a little bit more of a split than, you're right, that Mike Babcock would particularly like to have. But, you know, he said it himself the other day at practice that whoever's playing well is going in, which is, you know, similar tune actually to what Randy Carlyle was saying, you know, over the last 2 years with both these guys here. And, you know, I'm not sure a lot's changed other than clearly it's Bernier's job to start, and we'll see how he does. You know, if he's really good, he's going to play 60, 65 games. But if he struggles at all and behind this team, I think that's entirely possible for a goaltender. Might be a little bit more even than Babcock would start the season aiming for.
On the other side, Chris, we saw tonight the Toronto Maple Leafs taking James Van Riemsdyk and Leo Komarov, I believe. Little aggressive goaltender interference. I don't know if you like the bite or not, or if you're considered ill-advised penalties, whatever it may be. But that's kind of thing at times with the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're looking for traffic. You're looking for that crash and bang, and they seem to show a little bit of it.
Well, it got dialed up in the third period. You know, you felt that the competition, not just in front of the goalies, although there's, you know, Mike Condon took a few knocks there from the Leafs. James Van Riemsdyk also got a goalie interference call, and you know, James Reimer took one at the other end for Mike McCarron of the Habs. But in general, there was more competition on the ice, and you know, it's difficult because all these guys are getting their legs under them still, I think, at this stage of camp. But you don't want to dwell on the negatives, but there wasn't a lot of that throughout the game. We didn't see a lot of hitting, aggressive play until it got closer to the end. But I'm sure Mike Babcock, we haven't heard his comments yet, wasn't happy overall with that performance. It's not even about a result. I think it's about trying to see guys out there that are showing progress. And you know, there wasn't a lot. I mean, I thought William Nylander, for example, had a bit of a quiet night at times, but then you did see some of that skill. There was a play in the third where he feathered the pass. It didn't quite connect, but you know, you start to see the light going on there, and you know, something I'm sure for the coaching staff to think about, and that you're trying to pull whatever you can out of these games. But the reality is some of them are forgettable, and I'm sure even for Mike Babcock and his staff that's the case.
The other thing I would think after tonight, and we talked to Bob McGill about it, they got a lot of guys, what, 46 guys still in camp thereabouts, and that's a big number. There's going to be a smaller number now.
For sure. And it's funny, I actually spoke to Michel Therrien before the game a couple hours just after the Montreal arrived here, and he's fed up with having a big camp. He said he can't wait to get down, and he said by Monday when they're practicing and back in Montreal, they'll be at basically the team plus a couple guys where they have to make decisions. And I would think Mike Babcock is in a similar position. I mean, as a coach, I think it's a lot to put your mind around because, I mean, you're trying to be fair. You're trying to make sure everyone gets an equal opportunity, but you're not really – maybe you see a line or something you like out of these games, but you're not really building a team concept. And that's why I really do think we'll see next week the numbers reduce drastically and kind of get a little bit more of a sense of what the Leafs are going to look like. I mean, we still don't know. You look at the forward groups on this team, I'm not sure where everyone fits just yet. I mean, even a little bit. I mean, we could give a theoretical third line right now that could be the theoretical first line. With the way this team is, and I mean, I think right now wherever James Van Riemsdyk is, that's going to be your first line.
Yeah.
He's obviously the most accomplished offensive player, in, you know, on this team right now. I would think Nazem Kadri eventually will be his centerman, although you know, Mike Babcock's kept Bozak with him through the preseason so far, so maybe Kadri won't be taking over the number one role. But, you know, I think more than a typical team, the hierarchy here hasn't been established, and you can't really do that till you get the numbers down and you start playing them more in a real game situation.
On the Montreal front, did you I don't know if it was out yet or not, but kind of funny video everywhere, but P.K. Subban, Brendan Gallagher, a little bit of bite, a little bit of intensity of practice. It seemed pretty harmless. It's two guys that both have big egos in a good way. And
Two guys that could have been captain if not for Max Pacioretty as well.
Yeah. Maybe they were any much ado about nothing?
I think it is. I mean, look, I've been at a number of practices where we've seen fights, you know, most of them here in Toronto, just because I've been around the Leafs for a number of years. But those things tend to be something guys will laugh about after. You know, I don't think that it hints at a deeper tension. I mean, look, they're trying to be competitive. And you know, I really do think more like the public, we react one way to it. But in a dressing room, I think that's something that almost pulls the team a little bit closer together and maybe have a beer and a few chuckles about how it went down.
Well, before we have a beer and a few chuckles, we'll come back with more Leafs Nation postgame. Gord Stellick, Chris Johnson with you on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Talk about tonight's game until you're blue in the face. Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Fleischman, unable to play it, plays it right in front of the goal, pass in front of the net, a shot, they score! Dale Weiss set up in front of the net, Reimer had to play the initial pass, but the Leafs' backdoor coverage was non-existent.
Joe Bowen with the call. That was the only goal in regulation time. Dale Weiss scoring for the Montreal Canadiens. A 1-0 win for the Montreal Canadiens over the Toronto Maple Leafs in NHL preseason action. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame. Gord Stellick, Chris Johnson from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca joining me. And as well, there was a mandated experiment of 3-on-3 tonight, regardless of the score. So James Van Riemsdyk scored a highlight reel type goal. So the Leafs faithful at least went home with a smile on their face. It meant Bo Diddley as far as the actual scoring. Well, it's preseason anyway. What does it really mean, Chris? So it was a one little...
You got to make sure the horn was working tonight.
Yeah,
though,
make sure the horn. That's right. That's right. You do that. That's right. Getting at work at home. So that's what went on tonight. We will hear later on Mike Babcock. Didn't have a long press conference. We'll hear from him, James Reimer, a little bit, and also Devin Setoguchi, who Chris Johnson was alluding to earlier, mentioning he didn't play so well. He's got to play better if he's going to make an impression. First, so Mike Babcock gives, you were talking about Mike Babcock's style about his press conference and then taking accountability, but then throwing a little salvo or two.
Well, he sort of jumped on the sword there a little bit and said that, you know, he thinks that the lack of effort and energy, or sorry, not effort, the lack of energy we saw tonight was just due to the fact he's maybe skated the guys too hard. And, you know, that is a fact. I've been out at the practices this week, and, you know, clearly he's instituting a new system, trying to get guys used to it. And, you know, Mike Babcock is a very involved coach out of practice. And if he doesn't like the way it's done, whistle goes, boop, do it again. And he felt that maybe he'd skated these guys a little bit too hard this week, and that might be due to it. But then he also got in the dig after kind of taking some credit for, you know, saying that it was his fault, that he said, next year that won't be a problem, you know, which is a pretty clear allusion to the fact that he doesn't think they're in good enough shape and that after a full year under him and his coaching staff, maybe they will be.
Well, it seems when you lose, everything's a problem, right? When you win, everything's great. What is this, like 6 straight years they fired their conditioning coach? I mean, I've heard this every year coming in about the same things, not being in shape.
It is a mantra. We hear coaches everywhere say it in new situations. And you know, I think partly what they're referencing is that, you know, when your coach is at the end of his rope, generally maybe the players aren't listening as much. Maybe they're not as involved. Maybe they are cutting some corners. And when you get a new voice in the room, especially one as commanding as Mike Babcock, a guy with an 8-year contract, an unprecedented amount of security and power, frankly, for someone in his position, I mean, the guys are going to, you know, perk up behind their desks. You know, it's a teacher that isn't afraid to crack the whip, and everyone's vying for something. So, you know, I'm not surprised to hear that you know, the guys are going to work harder, and the coach thinks he can influence that. I mean, there's a question about how long, but anyway, it's been a long camp. The players do get, they were going to get a day off middle of the week next week. They get it tomorrow, at least in terms of their on-ice duties, rather.
Well, it's interesting, as we'll hear from James Reimer now, that, you know, James Reimer, it seems like every year battling for a goaltending position. I think only maybe one year he came in as the anointed number one goaltender. I could be wrong, but the one year when he got that three-year contract way back when. And he's gone through a lot of coaches. He's one of the senior players now, you know, very quietly as far as it goes. Had a solid game in goal for the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. Here's a little bit from James Reimer after tonight's 1-0 loss.
James, on one hand, a tough loss. On the other hand, a great overtime win. What do you take from what do you take from tonight?
I don't know, 60 minutes and a loss or 1 minute and a win? I mean, I thought today was, you know, a good exhibition game in the sense that, you know, we got a little bit better as a team. We figured some things out. We did some things wrong. We made some mistakes. And when you do that, you can learn from them. So, I thought today was just another good building block.
From your perch down behind the guys, how do you see the differences from last year to this year? What is most profound in your mind?
I think just maybe a little more maybe attention to detail in the defensive zone. I mean, I think, you know, like any exhibition game, sometimes it was a little sloppy and some things got a little out of hand. But I think overall, it was just, guys are really boxing out well. And right from the beginning, you know, they're winning their battles and they're getting good body position. And when they do that, then it enables me to see the puck and I can hold on to a few more rebounds and keep control of it. So, I thought they're doing a great job of learning from Babcock and just getting better.
In addition to the saves you made, the 2-point lengths, you happy with the way you're tracking the pucks, why things like that, as you say, detailed?
Today was a good day for that. I mean, I know in Ottawa, you know, it was something to get used to traffic. I felt it extremely hard to get used to only seeing like partial releases and the puck when it's only coming halfway at you. It's something you don't really get used to in the offseason. So today I felt far more comfortable. I was able to see the puck and see most of it. So I thought our tracking went. I thought it was a good game. I mean, I know I made a few mistakes and I can really sharpen up on a few things. But it's kind of like the rest of the team. It was just a good step.
It didn't last very long. But what was your impression? Your first-hand look at the 3-on-3 overtime?
Just summer hockey. That's what it is, really. And then, it's what we kind of have been doing 2 weeks before camp. So it's very similar. So you just kind of lean on those experiences you had when the guys are kind of just just joking around out on the ice and stuff. And so you kind of have one shot, get your chance, and then hopefully it goes in. Because if not, it was probably coming back on a 2-1. So it's fun. It's exciting, and it'll be good for the fans.
We're back here. Ozzy, we'll figure out where to meet Mark Osborne. Gord Stellick, Chris Johnson, Leafs Nation postgame, a little bit from James Reimer after tonight's game. Geez, Mark Osborne, now pro scout with the Los Angeles Kings, comes in interrupting us as we hear what happened.
He's like one of those kids that goes back to his high school the next year after he's graduated. And strutting around that, like he owns the place.
So anyway, we do wish him well. Nice seeing him, but he's forgot all his radio etiquette manners and professionalism in one fell swoop. But James Reimer, one thing about it too, always accommodating and a stand-up guy and chatting. This wasn't anything controversial like he's faced before with Randy Carlyle and that. But last night I thought Jonathan Bernier would like one or two of those back. It wasn't a great effort by Bernier. You mentioned that Reimer didn't have a great effort in Ottawa, so it was good kind of bounce back for him.
It was, and I laughed too when he was asked what he thought of 3-on-3 hockey. He said, looked like summer hockey. So,
yeah.
The goalies are probably going to have a different view on this than you and I, as I was at the top here saying that I enjoy that format change. But, you know, Reimer got a nice shout-out from Mike Babcock, too. He identified him as one of the three or four guys he thought played well. He mentioned Jake Gardner, Zach Hyman, and Martin Marincin as well. So, the coach was trying to sprinkle some positivity around. And I would expect James Reimer to have a good season. I mean, it's been tough for everyone last year. The team defensively really I mean, I'm not saying the goalies weren't without some fault, but didn't give those guys a lot of help. I think you're going to see a lot more structured defensive game. I think ultimately when we see the real Leafs, quote unquote, and they get a little bit comfortable in Mike Babcock's system, we're going to see a lot of 2-1 type of nights, which, as a goalie, I'm sure there's pressure because you can't let in too many goals because they're not going to be as offensive this team as they have been in the past. But I think that they're going to have an easier time stopping the puck, and that's going to be a good thing for Reimer, as I mentioned, heading into his contract year.
Yeah, it's funny. One thing Ozzie mentioned last year, though, just the first time when you watch the Detroit Red Wings, and if Babcock can get them playing that style in Toronto, is there's not a lot of ice. Because they really crowd it. You look up, I mean, they play that kind of system, and that's something, you want. He hopes the Toronto Maple Leafs can play that, almost that suffocating style that you look up and there's somebody in blue and white. So we'll see how that plays up. Certainly James Reimer would like that. All the goaltenders would as well. Let's hear a little bit, because you did chat about him earlier. Let's hear what Devin Setoguchi has to say. We mentioned that he's one of three players on a PTO. And
Three forwards. You got Mark Fraser, too. Remember?
Well, that's right. Mark Fraser. Four guys. Yeah, Mark Fraser with the little fisticuffs early on as well. But three forwards and Mark Fraser as well. Here's Devin Setoguchi talking about his play tonight.
Devin, how did you feel about your play tonight?
I don't think we skated well enough. Personally, I could have done a little bit more. On the forecheck, won more puck battles and applied more pressure. So a little disappointed with the opportunity that I had. You just got to kind of try and forget about it and move on as fast as possible.
Difficult move in tight for you on the chance you had on
I hit the goalie skate. I wasn't the post. It hit his skate and then off the post. So he made a great save. And who knows if that goes in, it's a different, a different feel. But, it's disappointing. You got to wake up tomorrow and, get refreshed and do the best you can.
Overall, you're happy with how things have gone so far?
Up till tonight, it's tough. We're in a tough spot, and I'm in a tough spot, and I got to be better
if I want to make this team.
Well, Devin Setoguchi, and a little bit of everything. Tough spot. Like the way things are going well, but need to be better to make the team.
Yeah, the one thing I like in that one, Gord, is that he sounded a bit upbeat. He was owning the night and saying he felt it was something of a missed opportunity, but he didn't sound to me like someone who was folding the tent and going home. And probably that speaks a little bit to what Mike Babcock was alluding to, that he probably recognizes there just wasn't a lot of gas in the tank out there. And these guys obviously put a lot of pressure on themselves. I mean, Devin Setoguchi's in a tough situation for a guy still in his 20s that he could find himself right out of this league pretty easily. And so he's got to, get some work done. But you can't beat yourself up too much either because, yes, they're not practicing tomorrow, but there's still more games to be played next week. I would be surprised if he's cut before then. We never know. I think we'll see this guy get another opportunity and it's getting real for those guys. There's only a few games left on the schedule, and they don't have a paycheck starting, a week and a half from now when everyone else, is sort of on the payroll and going for real.
Well, Brad Boy's another guy, and he was originally a Toronto Maple Leaf draft pick all those years ago, and, was playing well in Florida. I mean, part of it, when they gave Nick Bjugstad that big contract, it seemed that might have been part of his buyout. And
he was surprised to be bought out, though. He didn't see that one coming.
No,
so.
Absolutely didn't. And here he is, the local boy, talking about his effort tonight.
Anyway, Brad, how do you feel about your play tonight?
Not bad. Generate a few chances, a few more chances, which is what I wanted to do. Didn't score. Got to do that. Got to focus more on bearing down a bit. But it was good. It's good to get another one with Holland. I'm starting to reach out a little more. Matthias there, too. Enjoyed playing with him. So it's a step, but still more steps to go.
How would you assess your play overall in camp so far?
I think it's getting better. Getting more comfortable, not thinking as much. So getting used to the system a little bit more. The less you think, the better off you are. And I'm, slowly as we go, getting to that area now, it's just once I get a real good sense and I don't have to figure out where I got to be, then, play kind of better than anything on your mind, it's a lot easier.
How much do you have to balance the system, the fact that you're getting used to new line mates, then getting thrown into an exhibition game against another team? How much does that impact what you can do?
It does, but we're all trying to figure that too. You know, with this system, it's new for everybody. So I'm not the only guy in this spot. It's just that's the way it goes. And I've been on a number of teams trying to figure this stuff out a few times before, so I got a sense of what it takes and how I can get to that spot where I want to be.
Well, Brad Boyes and Chris Johnson, I think like Devin said, Higuchi, been there before but never really been there without a contract.
He hasn't, you mean with Brad Boyes?
Yeah.
Well, he actually went to Florida on a PTO 2 years ago.
Oh, did he?
Ago.
There
yep.
you go.
And made that team. And, you know, I had a good chat about this with him the other day that he said he didn't feel he played that well in Florida on his PTO. That he put a lot of pressure on himself. I think, I mean, with Brad, there's been never a question of the skill or ability, but, you know, he is very hard on himself. And I think that at times maybe guilty of thinking too much. I mean, but... he hopes that, you know, what he learned in going through it in Florida is something he can transplant here. And, you know, I think he has a good chance of earning a contract. I really do. I still think there's lots of gas left in the tank with Brad Boyes. And, you know, if it isn't here, you know, he might find a spot somewhere else. But, you know, another thing he mentioned when we chatted is that he knows he has to score. And you know, you look at the game sheet tonight, he finished among essentially on their top power play, among the leaders for the Leafs with the power play. And, you know, he's putting a lot of pressure on himself to put up points because he looks at this roster much like the rest of us and sees there's not a lot of goals that you can be sure of, and he's hoping to fill one of those roles and show that he can contribute on the specialty teams, and they're given that opportunity. And, you know, he's got to try to show that if he gets more games here next week.
Gord Stellick, Chris Johnson, Leafs Nation postgame. And as mentioned, before we broke away from the network presentation, Mike Babcock had taken the podium, so we did not hear the entire post-game press conference. It's only about 3 minutes or so, so we'll hear from the Toronto Maple Leaf head coach Mike Babcock after their 1-0 loss tonight to the Montreal Canadiens.
Devin Setoguchi said he was disappointed he didn't do more with the opportunity given him, but I guess he's in the same boat as a lot of players, not a big window of time here to impress people.
It looked like the coaching staff has skated these guys right into the ground, and it looked like we don't have a whole lot of jump. That's what it looked like to me. It looked like you can only get so much blood out of stone. I thought they were honest with their effort. I didn't think we could move, and I thought it was apparent. So instead of going to tomorrow with two groups, we'll just do, we have something with the union tomorrow anyway. We'll do that. We'll give them a day off so we can get charged up and come back and so they can look like hockey players. So. You know we've been pushing them, and we've been pushing them on purpose. You know, a year from now, they'd be able to handle it for sure. But right now, just it's a different than they're used to. So I thought it was real evident today, as I thought we tried, but we didn't have any juice.
You've been getting positive results in the 3-on-3.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to be honest with you, lots of things have been positive. Just the amount of shots we give up is positive. We took way too many penalties tonight. Our penalty kill was way better tonight. I thought Rimes had a good night. And Gardner continues to play well. I liked Hyman tonight. I thought he played good. I thought, you know, there's a guy who's in good condition who hasn't faded. He just kept coming. I thought he had his best night. I'm confident that Morenson had his best night. Who else did I like? Pardon me?
Your goalie.
Yeah, I said him already. So when you look at it all, well, I just thought it was a night that we didn't have enough juice. That's on me.
Is there anything you can do to avoid that given the schedule of games, practices? Like,
well,
are you forced into this situation?
Well, no, I mean, I want to work. So the games are important, but working is more important. So, you know, there's a reason we're working. So we could have done things different and maybe been fresher for these games, but I'm not that very concerned about that.
Well, I got back to break up a play, among other things tonight. How do you think he's done coming
off? Yeah,
I
mean, it's like we got, you know, about 10 D there that are vying for spots.
Sounds like you like 8-13. Is that because you like pairs to practice?
I just find, you know, in the past I liked it better because some of my D were getting up there in years and I played them lots of the games and I didn't want to practice them much. So we'll figure out the kind of group we have and then go from there. But I like... To me, you can practice harder if you have 8. And we got to learn how to play hard, so you got to practice hard.
Well, there he is. Mike Babcock, Toronto Maple Leaf head coach, Gord Stellick, Chris Johnson with you. Leafs Nation postgame, a 1-0 win for the Montreal Canadiens. And Chris just got about a minute left or so. And as I said, tired team, looked like a tired team. But he doesn't mind that as much because he finds the work by day more important.
And it is, frankly. I mean, adjusting to a new coach is not a one-week exercise. And, you know, I know he's been here throughout the summer and been in contact with the guys, but, you know, we're still not that deep into the amount of time that Mike Babcock and his new assistants have been working with these players. And, you know, if there's any chance of anything we would call success or approximating success, I think the Leafs have to find a way to play better defensively. That's been the bugaboo for a number of seasons here consecutively, and I think that that's going to take a lot of pounding on skulls and doing the same thing over and over again. So that's why that work is being done in practice.
Well, we'll be doing it again throughout the season. Always appreciate it, Chris. Thanks very much for tonight.
I love it. We're practicing just like the players.
That's
right
it.
Now.
I thought
we're putting in the work.
Yeah, we did. And we're tired. We're going to join Ozzy over across at Real Sports. Commiserate with him a little bit. 1-0 win for the Montreal Canadiens over the Toronto Maple Leafs. This has been Leafs Nation postgame. Gord Stellick, Chris Johnson with you, and a great day for the Toronto Blue Jays. Congratulations to them and their organization, and hopefully better things for the Toronto Maple Leafs and their fans coming up this season. You've heard all the action here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.